Hello, and welcome to the Virtually Unedited Podcast
2.0.
I'm Dom, and I'm super tired.
I'm Nick, and I'm uncomfortable.
Today we're going to be finally settling our Oscars bet. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Lego Movie, because it's been a while since we saw it. And then we're going to talk about Alita Battle Angel.
Whoop whoop.
So the Oscars. You know, we had this bet. One of us is going to have to watch at least two shitty movies that the other person wants to watch. Basically, you want to kind of pick something that you know is going to be bad. It's kind of a punishment for both of you because you both have to see it. But but the idea is that if I want to watch a crappy movie, but I know it's going to like hit me right in the heart and I'm going to enjoy it, but it's going to be bad, then at least I'm getting something out of it. Like, for example, a crappy movie I would watch but Nick would actually probably not stand is like, I actually ended up liking Mother at the end of the day.
Like, God damn it. I don't want to watch that goddamn movie.
I'd probably force you to sit through that again. Like something like that.
I think it's bullshit because I want you to watch Creed, which is legitimately a good movie and highly rated by critics.
It's just not something I would want to watch.
It was Oscar nominated.
It might be a good movie, and like I'll be able to recognize that it's good. I just have no desire to watch it. All right, so here's the thing, though.
Oh no.
Neither of us won.
Technically, we both won, but we also both lost.
Tied. So we are going to have to both watch a bad movie or two bad movies that the other person picks for us. Oh, God. Because we tied. So just to recap, real quick, we did best visual effects. Which was First Man won, but neither of us voted for First Man.
Whew.
Animated feature was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I got, but not because Nick didn't know it would win, just he didn't want to be the same as me.
Which I should have, because you screwed me over on the Black Panther.
I'm just saying, well, because then Best Costume, we both voted for Black Panther. But then Nick got the Best Song, Shallow, and then I got Best Director, Roma, and then he got Best Supporting Actress, Regina King.
Whoop whoop.
I got nobody got Best Supporting Actor. Then I got Best Actress, Olivia Colman. He got Best Actor, Rami Malek. And neither of us thought that Roma would win Best Movie. Green Book, sorry. I'm still a little bit stung over that one. I'm glad Green Book won. I have no qualms about that. But I wanted Black Panther to win, and I feel a little snubbed.
Oh, you mean Black Klansman or Black Panther?
Sorry, God damn it, Black Klansman. Yeah, I'm all tongue-tied today.
I honestly would have been
5 hours of sleep.
I would have been fine with any of the other ones. I just think Green Book's such a safe choice. It's like,
yeah,
it's a remaking and a twist on Driving Miss Daisy. It's just, I don't know.
I'm annoyed with myself for not just picking Mahershala Ali for supporting, because I made a whole, like, big... I don't want to use the word hoopla, but it's the only word coming to mind. I made like a big stink about the fact that I wanted him to win and I thought he deserved it and all this stuff. And then I was like, but I'm going to say Sam Rockwell. And then he won. Like, why didn't I just stick to my guns and win this goddamn thing?
That definitely was like an award. I don't think he was the best supporting actor out of all those, but like he won it for his other years. Like we were talking about, like,
well, he had just won. He did win for Moonlight. Like, we said last time that he didn't, but he did.
Oh, did he?
They said that when he was coming up to get his award. You know, they're like, this person's been nominated in this category. They were like, this person has one other Oscar in this category for Moonlight.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so that was his second Oscar.
Okay, then that's good. I'm glad he has that.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm like, I want him to have 10 of them. Okay, so since that's how everything's gone down, we both have to sit through some bad movies, so look forward to that in later podcasts. But since we were talking about Mahershala, or however you say his name, Mahershala, let's just go ahead and segue that into Alita, because he's in there.
He is in there.
Which I didn't know until I was sitting there in the theater watching the movie.
Oh my god, I have a lot of thoughts about this movie, and I feel like... you might have some thoughts, too,
yeah,
but you might not have many thoughts.
I want to make something clear. Have you read the manga?
Yes.
Okay, cool, because I haven't, so it'll be a perfect, like, two totally different takes. Yeah. as far as that goes. So
I want you to begin because I think you have a shorter opinion than I do.
Yeah, I'm not gonna really go on a rant. Visual effects, excellent. Like, best visual effects I've seen all year, and I'm so sad it didn't make the cutoff date for the Oscars, because that would have been my, like, number one VFX movie. And if it doesn't get nominated next year because of the fact that it came out in February, like, somebody should just burn down the Academy. It's just not even worth it, because it was so, like, the visual effects were so good. Anyways, so that was great. I thought the acting was okay, except for the love interest character who didn't need to exist. I don't know if he's in the manga or not. Nick, is he in the manga?
Oh, yes, he is in the manga.
Okay, that character sucked. And I hated him. And either they needed to change actors or just rework that whole thing in the like the way they wrote it, because I hated him. Yeah, I've got some things to say about that, but I don't want to give I don't want to give spoilers yet. So my quick and dirty, how I felt about it, out of 10, I'd give it a 7, just because there were some plot issues that I had, some things that I just would have reworked that I don't think were hard to rework, that I think you could have noticed on the page. Like, literally, if I were reading the script, these are things I would have been like, we can change this a little. That's not really going to work. And I feel like they don't work from the moment of conception. Like, they're not things that I'm like, oh, that's bad execution. That was bad writing. Like, it should have been fixed that far back. So, so for that, I do dock the points. I think Christoph Waltz is always good. He's excellent. The guy who was the bounty hunter type thing. What do they call the bounty hunters?
Oh, you're talking about Zapan?
Yeah, Zapan. But what do they call the bounty hunters?
Hunter warriors.
Yeah, the hunter warrior that was, Zapan, the one that was, like, always chasing her down towards the end of the movie.
Yeah, Ed Skrein. That's the character.
Yeah, I liked that guy a lot. He worked for me. I think Jennifer Connelly was just wasted. She's such a good actress, and that character was but yeah, VFX. I wanted to go watch that sport for sure. While I was watching it, I was like, this is the movie Rollerball. Like, I'm just going to say that it was way too much like Rollerball. But yeah, I loved that part. I was like, I would watch this sport. Like, this is some real steel type stuff. I didn't relate to real steel, but this, I was like, okay, yeah, I could watch this. So that's 7 out of 10. That's my vote. That's my answer.
Okay, not as bad as I thought, because I thought you were gonna really rag on this movie, and I was gonna have like the comeback of the ages.
No, it was too entertaining. Like, honestly, I could not argue how entertaining that movie was. It's like the last Fast and the Furious movie was so trash but so entertaining, and that's how I feel about this. Like, even if I didn't like it, it just would have been too entertaining to deny.
It's a popcorn flick. Yeah.
Yeah, it really was, and I had a great time watching it, so...
So, yeah. Let me preface this by saying my thoughts on Alita Battle Angel, because I'm going to call... Or Battle Angel Alita, as it's known in the manga. They just switched around, but... So, I feel like there's, like, a comparison we need to do between an adaptation versus how good of a movie is, because they sacrificed some things in the movie... that, like, in the execution of the movie, to keep true to the original manga and OVA. And it should be noted that James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez are, like, huge fans of this, of the series. Especially James Cameron started writing the script for this movie back in 2000 alongside Avatar. And it was pretty much, he was given the choice to do Avatar or Alita Battle Angel. And he was like, hey, I'm going to do Avatar. Like, it's my own original idea. But he always had this in the back of his head that he wanted to do this movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that he did. It takes stuff from the manga, that stuff only in the manga, and stuff that's only in the OVAs that released. And, like, me pointing out certain stuff would kind of get into spoilers, but a few of the things... So Jennifer Connelly's character only exists in the OVAs, and some of the original, like, translations, like the town being called Zalem, is actually only in the manga itself. It's called, like... I'm trying to think, like, Tia Hersey and the OVAs and whatnot. It's just so many details that have been cherry-picked from both sources. So you know that both of these, like, the director and the producer, they both, like, knew the series inside and out. And you can see that in certain shots are, like, lifted from the manga itself and certain lines of dialogue, which is going to come to my next point. A lot of this movie is kind of cheesy, and there are some parts that are really cringy in this movie, and I agree with people with that. But that's what happens when you lift dialogue straight from books and, like, manga. Like, if you were to read a book out loud, most of the dialogue in that is bad. But that's just because that's the medium. Because when you hear it in your head, it sounds a certain way versus when it's said to out loud. And so, like, even though I know people are trying to, like, you know, harping on it for how cheesy and cringy it is, at certain times, it's true to the original. And because of that, I can't put the count that against that. Because it is literally the best adaptation of, like, a manga or, like, slash anime to come out yet. Like, in America, I should say. Because I still think Japan has some really good ones that they've released. But the majority of, like, worldwide has been bad. And then this
Just on that point real quick, I actually did watch, like, someone else reviewing this movie. And something that I noticed they pointed out that I totally agreed with was if you're a person who watches anime, those cheesy moments don't come off nearly as cheesy to you.
Yeah, they don't. Because
that person also had never seen the manga, but they watch anime. And so there was all these things that their friends were like, this was so lame or this was so cheesy that he didn't even notice. And he was like, I think it's because I went into it with, like, an anime mindset. And I was like, I guess I kind of did the same thing because I didn't notice a lot of those same scenes that they were harping on. Mm-hmm. And I think that just comes from, are you used to watching content like this?
Yeah, and I agree with them. Like, anime is pretty cringy and pretty cheesy at times, but you forgive it because of the medium. And I think because it's an adaptation, we need to forgive it too. Like, and this is something I've been talking about to Ghost in the Shell, because, like, when people were basically getting mad at Ghost in the Shell, and I was like, it's literally, like, beat for beat the original. So, like, you can't praise the anime or praise the manga and then diss on the movie if it's doing the exact same thing.
And that was actually my issue with that movie. I complained about a lot because there were things I didn't like about the anime that I was, like, hoping they would kind of fix.
Yeah.
So I harp on both. Like, it bothers me in the anime and the movie. But so I don't like, those are things I don't like about both.
So the thing with Battle Android Alita, like, it takes the first half of the manga and kind of condenses it into this, obviously, this 2-hour movie when it has, like, the, you know, the easiness of being published in a manga of, like, 30 to 50 chapters, so all the pacing doesn't seem bad. So, you know what I mean? The romance seems paced out better in the manga, even though it's pretty much how it happens in the movie. You know, because that was my big thing, is, like, definitely, like, Hugo as a character. By the way, he actually is named Hugo in the original, and Marshahala Ali's character is actually black in the original manga, too. So, like, legit.
Really?
Yeah, so, and the setting takes place in future Kansas City, pretty much.
Okay, like, for people who don't watch anime, having a black character in a manga or anime that's not comedic relief is very rare.
Yeah.
So that's awesome that he was actually black in the manga.
And you didn't hear a lot about whitewashing about this movie, which I was really happy for, because, like, it does take place in Iron City, supposed to be modern day in Kansas City, and James Cameron, Robert Rodriguez is like, that's why we felt like we could do this movie and cast who we wanted to cast. That being said, obviously Hugo looks a little, even though he's not technically, like, ever stated to be, he does, because of the style, looks a little more Asian than the original, but his kind of race is held up to it. I think all the character, and Dyson Ito, obviously, is Daisuke Ito in the original as well, so there is a few changes here and there, but Christoph Waltz did such a great job. The design is great. They rolled a few characters in it together. Gruishka was actually three characters rolled into one, because they're, like, three separate villains that Alita fights. Which is cool, because it doesn't make sense for her to fight, like, three separate
bad guys. Give your out of 10 so we can...
Okay, I'm sorry for getting caught up. This was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. I want to see more. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 because I had a hell of a fun time. It was great to the original, and goddamn, it's good.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that they're playing a sequel and that China is basically going to fund it because that movie made no money in the U.S., but it's making its box office back in China. I mean, so
$64 million is not bad for a February release.
It's, but for a $200 million movie.
So I think it's like what? It needs to make, it's $170 million production. So rule of thumb, if it makes back twice that, it'll be a hit, considered a hit.
Yeah, so, but also remember, I agree with you. But also just remember that, you know, with these blockbuster movies, the budget doesn't take into account any marketing. And yeah. I saw so many trailers for that movie.
Which is why, like, that's why I double it, just so I can, mm-hmm. and as of right now, it's sitting at roughly 286 awesome. Million, which is good, meaning if it makes, you know, it's only been a few weeks, or like 2-3 weeks, so it makes just a bit more, and it hits that 320 mark. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be, you know, it'll be safe and well for making a new one.
Okay, before we jump into spoilers, Lego Movie. I loved Lego Movie.
Yeah,
I loved it. I had a really, 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 really great time. I thought it was super, super fun. There's some unexpected jokes in there, as always, with those movies. There's always, like, a couple of... It kind of reminds me of, like, when Shrek first came out, and they had a few adult jokes in them that you were like, wow, anyone can enjoy this. That's how I felt about Lego Movie. And then lots of Batman jokes, because Batman is the best. And lots of Chris Pratt jokes. And
lots of jokes all around.
There was one thing I really wanted to point out. Oh, I love, love, love that they broke some tropes with the villain character in this. So, yeah, I'm just going to say they broke some tropes. It was really funny, really cute, really wholesome. As someone who has a brother, you know, anyone who has a sibling, these movies are always really, really relatable. And yeah, that's okay. Yeah, 9 out of 10. I love Lego movies. So, yeah, it was great.
I'm gonna say 8 out of 10 for me. I really enjoyed the movie too. I didn't enjoy it as much as probably like a huge fan, but mm-hmm. I love the meta commentary. I love how like the plots are always like, you know what I mean? Like they're translations of meta stuff that's happening in the real world. Right. And I like the music was good. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I thought because we had our own standalone Batman movie, we might move away from the Batman-centric kind of ideas and plot points.
Never.
But I'm okay with that. I understand that Will Arnett is just a good resource to have.
I think he's a good resource to have, and I also think that they probably would have moved away faster if it hadn't been for the fact that Batman has been so, like, in movie news lately. So, and also, because of the, they make a joke about this in the movie, and, oh, I'm sorry, it's going to spoil this one joke, but let's just start the spoiler section here. So they do make that one joke in the movie where they're like, I wish Marvel would return our calls. And it's like, they just only have so many heroes that they can make fun of. And unfortunately, their only really like famous hero from DC is Batman, because the rest of them keep bombing. So they have Aquaman and Wonder Woman, but we don't know much about Aquaman and Wonder Woman because those movies don't really like teach you anything interesting about them. They're just heroes.
You know what the problem I have with the Lego Batman is? It's just because like I hear his voice and like I know it's supposed to be Batman, but I just hear BoJack Horseman, and that's all I'm gonna say about that.
That's actually really funny, and I would love to rewatch that with that in mind. It's like whenever I watch Bob's Burgers, and every once in a while I'm like, my brain goes to Archer.
Oh yeah, and so
yeah, like sometimes I'll be watching Bob's Burgers and I'll just like think, like I'll hear, you know, him off screen, and I'll imagine Archer in my brain, and then, you know, Bob will walk on and I'm like, oh yeah, this is
wrong, Bob's Burgers. Wrong show. I will say the one show that had me laughing, because I saw this opening night somehow, like mm-hmm. I totally forgot it was opening night. I was like, there was nothing else. I actually went a week before Battle Angel thinking Battle Angel released. And I was like, oh my god, I'm going to see opening night Battle Angel. And it was the Lego Movie Part 2. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll go see that. And it was the release of that. And I was like, wow.
That actually sounds really sad, but I'm glad that you still got to see something funny.
Yeah, I saw it. And the one joke that got me is when they're singing Everything's Not Awesome at the end. And I think it's Charlie Day's character goes like, now I finally understand Radiohead. And I about died in the fucking theater.
That was really funny.
It didn't do that well, I heard, in the box office, though.
I don't think it did, Well, that's like, neither did Wreck-It Ralph 2.
But yeah, this movie only made it made $84 million domestically, which isn't bad, but
yeah, it's more than Alita.
Yeah, but I mean, overall for the year, though, Alita is number 5 currently of the top 2019 movies, though.
In the 2 months?
Yeah, but I mean...
In the two lowest grossing months,
I guess, but you gotta... Statistically. It tries, okay? Don't.
No, it's doing well. I'm just saying, like, I'm not gonna overhype it. It's February, and the only reason that February is starting to become, like, a good month for movies is because there's so many movies coming out, they've had to start pushing into February.
Yeah, because Black Panther destroyed last February.
Yeah, but it was also, that's Black History Month. It's a black superhero movie. Like, yeah.
They should have made Battle Angel Alita more about Marshall.
Exactly. People would have seen it. Yeah, they should have been like, for Black History Month, go watch a futuristic movie about this black dude, and then it's not about him at all. Oh,
can we talk? Okay, now they're on spoilers. Can we just talk about how the scene with Hugo at the end of Battle Angel Alita is literally ripped from the manga? Oh my! Like panel by panel, OVA by OVA.
Glad you told me that, because I hated it. Like, I could tell when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is only in here because of the manga, but it was a bad choice.
Like, him dying at the end, you think? Or his character?
He should have, like, okay, because of the way that it was done, he, like, had already almost died, just to turn around and die. Like, I get that they wanted to get him in the body, you know, or whatever, and then have him fall off the thing. But, oh my god, if you're watching it as someone who's never read the manga...
It's like, so fast. It's just like, well, what?
It's not even fast. It's too long. Like, no one gave a shit by that point. I even remember kind of everybody in the audience, like, I was sitting there, and I was just like, ugh. And then this old lady in front of me was just like, oh my god. Like, we were all just tired. We were all just like, this movie feels ancient. Like, it feels so long. And by the time he finally dies, it was like, I was about to start a slow clap, but there's a lot of old people in there. So I was like, I don't want them to get mad at me. But, like, because we had gone through this whole scene where he almost dies, she spends all this time trying to decide what to do. They ruined Jennifer Connelly's character in the same moment. And then now here's 10 more minutes of... like unnecessary angst with this kid, and then he finally dies, and literally like 30 minutes into this movie I turned to Cedric and I was like, I really hope that kid dies, like, and like every time he was in any kind of trouble I was like, just die, like, please, and
his
die.
Death in the movie is a lot more gorier or like destructive than his death in the manga.
You mean his fake death? Because his real death, he just falls off the thing.
Well, him getting like torn apart, his like robotic body getting torn apart. Like, I think in the manga, okay, he just gets cut in half, like, by the blades.
Yeah, yeah. That's something I actually said. I was like, you can tell this is a Robert Rodriguez movie. During, like, the first couple of fights, I was like, yeah. I was like, Robert Rodriguez definitely directed this.
I see. I love how movies can be PG-13 as long as you make robots. Like, you could massacre and, like, kill robots any which disgusting way. As long as there's no blood, no one gives a shit. Like,
yeah, they're like, you can cut people in half. You can... if it is blood, it's not... red.
It's blue. It's blue, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's gotta be blue.
Like Zapan, like they, so in the manga and in the movie, they cut his face off. Like that's the thing that happens.
Yeah, that was so crazy. I was like, okay, this is great. Yeah, honestly, because of the violence of the movie, I was really into it.
Yeah.
Like that's what sold that movie for me was how violent it is. I love violence in movies and media, and I don't give a shit what anybody says. So it's great.
They skipped the things they changed to the blade that she has. She kind of I forget if she finds it or she just has it at the beginning, but they give it a new origin, Zapan, which I thought was pretty cool. And shit. Jennifer Connelly's death, you never get to see that in the original, and I was like, but you the know eyeballs? What happened. They harvest their organ to send it to Zalem. Like what they do. That's what, like, Marshall ID or Vortex does. And he tells them that, but you never get to see it. So getting to see it here was great. And I was like, oh.
Okay, hold on, though, because now actually, okay, that clears some things up. So you're saying that it was just normal organ harvesting?
Yeah, so the only way to get the Zalem, like, alive is to become a champion. But what Marshall Lee would do in the manga, or Vortex would do in the manga, is that he would send the body, he would harvest organs of people that Nova took interest in, that had, like, did great, good things for him, that helped him, and he would, Vortex would harvest their organs and send them up to Nova to do experiments.
Okay, so, hold on, because he didn't really harvest her organs, he took her brain and her eyes and her hands.
Yeah.
Which I felt like meant he's gonna put her in, like, some kind of robot body, and then... keep trying to use her to because
like her whole probably because those were the experiments thing. That they do. But
yeah.
But I mean, like, it was particularly for him to like experiment on.
Right. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah. I just for a second I thought you were saying that like they just send up random people's organs to what's it called, Zalem?
Zalem.
Yeah, I thought you were just saying that they send people's organs to Zalem to like keep the other people alive, and I was like, I'm sure they do, but also they have robots, like they don't need it.
Also,
they
Edward Norton was in this movie.
I know. Oh my god. And I was like, this guy looks like ugly Edward Norton, and then I was like, wait a second, it is ugly Edward Norton. Oh my god, that was like so funny when that happened. Did you have anything else that you wanted to go into as far as like things that you absolutely love? Because I'm ready to like tear into three things that I just did not like about this movie.
About Alita?
Yeah.
Things I loved about Alita. VFX. Beautiful. I think Alita herself, I think Rosa Salazar did a really good job of what she was given despite like the dialogue in terms of like the character's movements, understanding why the character does the things they do. I think the fighting was great, and I think they did the best for what is supposed to be like months, like a month in the manga, or like months in the manga to like 2 days in the actual like movie.
Yeah, it did feel like 2 days. I mean, I don't think it was meant to be, but yeah. So yeah, actually my number one complaint was just that it felt a bit cramped.
Yeah, it's paced badly. That's so true.
Yeah, it's got bad pacing. And I feel like it's just a lot of stuff to try to stick into one movie. And I feel like my biggest problem with that was really just the lack of character development that happened because they were trying to shove too much into one thing. And I feel like that showed the most with... Honestly, like, okay, what I hated the most about the movie was the romance section, but I know that that's usually what I hate about every movie, mm-hmm. So let's just put that aside. Let's talk about Jennifer Connelly and how that character did not feel real at all. Like, she would pop up and just be angry, or she would pop up and just be, like, evil, and then she just popped up at the end and was, like, altruistic. It made no sense. Like, her character didn't feel real at all, and it really bugged me because I was like, okay, if you know from the manga that she makes these decisions, then when she shows up at the beginning and she's all upset about the fact that he used the daughter's body and everything, then she needs to also show how sad she is for him on the other hand, that he, you know, needs that in his life. Instead, she just gets angry and she doesn't show any kind of compassion. Then we move on and she's like, that person's body, I could use his parts on my, like, creepy cyborg dude. And she just uses his parts. Like, okay, sure, I get that it's just body parts. Like, it's just robotic parts. It's not gonna, like, you know, really mess up that dude's life very much. But at the same time, like, you're telling me that this character has no qualms about literally ripping a dude's arms off and attaching them to someone else. Mm-hmm. But then... later, she's just like, they got away. You know, like, she's totally willing to just give up her marks. It's like, you're telling me that she would do anything to make it to Zalem. She would do all this fucked up stuff. Yeah. But then suddenly she just decides to be a good person. It makes no sense. It would have been better if she maybe kind of like absentmindedly said like, oh, like, those are such great parts. And then they pop up in her shop and she's like, like, oh shit, like, you stole them off that dude. But she doesn't, you know, she just puts them on, whatever. But if we show that apprehension, it shows that, like, she wants to make it, but she's not a terrible person. And instead, she was a terrible person that just randomly decided to make a good decision for no reason. Like, Alita's the only thing standing in her way of getting to Zalem. Why would she want to help her? It makes no sense. Like, at all, with the character that they put forward.
It's explained a lot better. Like I said, it all comes down to pacing and not being able to put the stuff in. And, like, it's better paced because it's almost like the villain has a change of heart. Because in the OVA, she's kind of, like, there from the, like, you know, she's the bad guy from, like, the beginning. Or she's, like, one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
I just feel like that James Cameron, because I understand why he chose that cutoff point. you know, but, like, I feel like he definitely could. I myself, because he wanted to include that really iconic scene, because that's, like, a really famous scene in Alita is when he falls from the tubes. And I just think he needed to save it. Like, he just needed to save it and cut it off right when they, like, rescue them. And, like, yeah, because they do try to hint at it, like, that that's what he's going to do, because he does say, like, if I had a body like yours, I would just climb up to Zalem.
Yeah,
he does say that in the very beginning.
But, like, that's the thing is, like, oh, I just felt so, like, he was a bad person, so...
See, he's
so
a... my God, because they don't... because I can't... Don't have the manga. He has, like, chapters of backstory, and, like, you understand why he wants to go to Zalem, but he doesn't have any of that, because it's a movie, and you can't turn an ongoing series into a movie. It's hard. It's tough.
Well, I guess I just feel like if it really, like, was that bad to where, like, he just had so much going on, then get a better actor and just keep him for the first movie and then hope that you get to make a second one.
That's what I was saying. Like, they needed to push that back to the second movie. That could have been the mid-movie where, like, shit goes wrong and, like, the character has, like, that, you know what I mean? That Night of the Soul.
Especially because we could have, like, really gotten a good love story then. And maybe at the end... You know, the last thing with him is him, like, getting the new body. You know, like, maybe she does the thing where she saves him with the head and it doesn't feel so useless. Because that's the thing is, because he dies at the end, it undermines all of the stuff where she saves his life and, like, does the thing where she connects him to her heart and everything. Like, it completely undermines that entire situation and makes those, like, 30 minutes of, like, conflict. Because it's not just the scene where she puts his head, like, and makes it connect to her body. It's having to explain that they need the heads to be able to turn in a, like, that they killed someone. Then it's, like, having to piss off Zapan so that then Zapan wants to kill the kid. That, like, you know, like, it's a lot of buildup to create that tension so that just so we can get to that one scene where she's just gonna save him. Just so he can die at the end. Like, it makes it feel like everything I just went through was for no fucking reason. It really, like, it just ruins any payoff I would have had as an audience member because of the fact that they kill him later. And it just, like, basically is, like, saying all those emotions you just went through were completely pointless and useless.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly died for nothing.
Yeah, like, it's so frustrating. That really, really, really pissed me off. And so I feel like if they had just ended it with her making it to the end, you know, like, with his head, then he gets the new body, she goes and does her thing and is like, I'm coming for you, Nova. And then she comes home and you get to see Christoph Waltz and the nurse lady that, you know, was helping, and then, like, you unveil him in his new body and it's like, cool, like, you know, happy ending. Like, and we know there's gonna be a sequel.
Yeah.
Because it honestly ended up being a happy ending for me anyway, because I just wanted the kid to die because I hated his character end. So I honestly still felt like it was a happy ending. Like, I didn't feel like that was a sad ending to that movie at all. I still left thinking, like, okay, cool. Like, this is a good ending to this movie. Now that we've spent 20 minutes on talking about how shitty the romance was, I wish that they had explored a tiny bit more Nova, like, controlling people, because I didn't really fully understand how well he can control them. Like, does he just take them over and talk through them? Can he completely control their bodies? I would have liked to see that just a tiny bit more. And, more Rollerball.
You mean, what's it called? It's called Rollerball, or is it called?
It's no, Motorball. Motorball, yeah. But it was basically Rollerball.
What'd you think of the eyes? Were you freaked out?
I wasn't freaked out. I didn't like it, but I was fine with it.
Because she has really huge fucking eyes in the mod. Like bigger than everyone else's, I will say.
I got it. I got why they did it. I was just like, this, it looks dumb.
It was pretty, though. Whatever. The VFX was pretty.
That's the thing. It's like, the VFX were so pretty. I think if any other company had done it, I would have hated it.
Because James Cameron throwing that money.
Yeah, Weta Workshop and James Cameron were just like, we got this.
I also think James Cameron just doesn't give a shit about, like, awards or, like, Oscars. He just really doesn't. He just really, like, he was like, I'm just going to make what I like, and people are going to like it and see it. Like,
after Okay.
Oh, because, like, people bag on Avatar, and, like, you know me, like, I love Avatar. I'm so excited for the sequels. And he's like, I don't give a shit. I'm making 3 sequels because fuck y'all. That's what I want to do.
Dom from the future here. At this point, Nick and I ended up on about a 20-minute argument about James Cameron and whether or not he really understands people on more than a one-dimensional level based off of the movie Avatar and Aliens. Basically, that just went on for too long, so I'm just going to end this here and give you a small recap of what we talked about. In the end, we kind of just brought up that it would be really great to see a director's cut of this movie, and it would really help probably flesh out the plot and bring this to a newer audience. So if they made an extended director's cut of Alita Battle Angel, I really think it would be extremely helpful in bringing it to an audience who don't read manga or watch anime. Other than that, thanks for listening, and you'll hear us next time. Bye!